You don't think I can see? Well, I'm excited about God's Word. We went to a women's conference last Friday night and Saturday morning, and you know, everywhere you go, something like that, it's always exciting and gets you fired up. And the woman that brought the messages was a spitfire. I mean, she was a little bitty woman who stayed bent over most of the time she talked because she was so excited about what she was saying, and she just really brought the Word. Let there be light. I think that we should be confident. The world sees Christians as these meek little, beat down, poor, pitiful creatures. And that's the opposite of what God intended for us, I think. I think we misinterpret things in the Bible that come across that we're supposed to be humble. Well, the word humble means confident. And so I come to you not with my confidence, but with God's, because I talk in front of people all the time. They're all about this tall. But I just think we should be strong and confident and walk through this world like we know what's up. Well, first we got to know what's up. Amen. So last Sunday, I'm fairly certain I have adult ADHD. Because I started on one thing, and in the last 2 days, I've gone and gotten very distracted by other things. Sorry. Should I just breathe into it? Okay. I'm not sure, because, you know, I have kids all day long that I'm fairly certain have attention problems, and then I find myself being exactly like them, so I'm not sure. They'll all be okay, I guess, since I turned out all right. But I started off... the lady at the conference made a comment that I didn't agree with. She was given this analogy, and you don't have to agree with everything every preacher says. You don't have to agree with everything I say tonight. Amen. Because I might say something and mean it a different way than what it comes out, because things that come out of my mouth sometimes, I have prayed that it will be God's word, so I hope that I don't mess anybody up, but... She said, she was given the analogy of the Michael Jackson video, Billie Jean, where he walked down the sidewalk of lights, when the sidewalk of road or whatever, and the squares lit up. And then she said, y'all quit looking at me like that, because y'all know you aren't too holy. You've seen that video. Just like y'all are looking at me. I know what she meant now. You're like, oh, I don't know, Michael Jackson? What's that? Whatever. Anyway, you know that video where he stepped, each square he stepped on. And she said that the director had to tell him, now I know you're the dancing guru, but you're going to have to step where I have predetermined for you to step, because that's what it's fixed, so that those will light up. So you can't go dancing off over here, because these are supposed to light up. So this is where you need to be. I have predetermined your steps. You know where it's going, right? It's a really good analogy, because God has predetermined our steps that we should take. We choose whether we take them or not. And then she said, because God wants you right where you are, or something to that effect. And I wrote it down because I didn't agree with it, and I wanted to think on it. She said, you are right where God wants you. And I don't agree with that. I think we are where we've gotten ourselves. And some of us, it's right where God wanted us. And some of us, the square's way over here that's lit up. And we're way over there. And so I didn't agree with that. And so I started re-studying and refreshing myself on those scriptures of, you know, believing what the Word says and following what the Word says and doing what the Word says. Because I believe that, yes, we have a path that's lit up. But I also believe that we have 100% free will to choose that path or not. And so then I get to thinking about the lesson we taught in children's church on Sunday. And it was about the man that got healed. And it's in John chapter 9. So turn your Bible there, because I'm going to read almost the whole chapter. And I got to thinking about that lesson and how good it was, and how this man, you know, finally made those steps that he needed to make in the right direction, that lit up path that he needed to take. And then I got totally engrossed in this story and totally forgot about the other analogy that I just wanted to tell because I thought it was good. And so we're going to tell this story because this is what we taught the kids on Sunday. And your kids come out of that room in there with the Word of God in them. And they should use it. We hope they use it. We try to give them examples of ways they can use it and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about kids because that's all I know is kids. It's what I do. I've tried to quit. I've tried to quit lots of times. Never even vocalized it to anyone, but God stopped me in my tracks before I even got that far. So, but we're teaching them in there what we all, if we had known, would have made, maybe didn't get off that lit up path that we all got off of at one time or another. So this is the story of the man who Jesus healed with the mud that he made from his spit. And I have an idea about this man who got spit on his eyes. I'll tell you in a minute. So let's start with verse 1. It says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now when I read that, I went, what? Because I have been schooled in this church. Now, I was raised in a much different church. And Jerry says all the time, it's easier to learn something new than to unlearn something that you've learned. But I found it fairly easy to go from the church I was raised in, where there wasn't much hope for me at all. Okay, none. Like, if you could be in the negative in hope, that was it for me. Because I was just a sinner. I was just messed up. You're not going to get it right, Nancy. So if you'll just ask for forgiveness every day, maybe a few times a day, then maybe right after you ask that last time, Jesus will come back and you'll be all right. That's how I was taught as a child about God. Maybe you'll make it, but only if, right? And it's going to have to be right after you ask for forgiveness because you're going to turn right around and sin again. Is there hope in that? It's no wonder I just walked away from it. I was never going to get it right. And so when I came to this church, I don't even know how many years ago. 16 years ago? See, I'm just a baby still. I was young. Well, anyway, it was so foreign to me that God loved me and that it was good news and that you don't have to be sick. And I mean, these kids, if they say it, they probably say it in their sleep. You don't have to be sick, you don't have to be poor, and you don't have to be afraid. If they learn three things from us in that room, it's that. You don't have to be sick, you don't have to be poor, and you don't have to be afraid. I didn't know that. I thought you were supposed to be afraid all the time, so maybe you get to heaven. And so when I got a hold of that, it was easy for me to unlearn. And so, I get it. But it's so good to be reminded. So, when I read this, I thought, this sounds like God made this guy blind so that he could heal him and then everybody see the miracle. That's not that. I mean, people might believe that that's what it says, but I think, and you know the interpretation, the translation of the Bible, you know Del Cohen. He just blows your mind when he comes because it's not exactly always right. So you have to look at it and you have to use what you know about God and interpret it. Do any of you think that God would make someone blind just so he could heal them? No. He's not going to break your leg to teach you something. Kyler got into a heated argument at school with a girl last year who said that God will make you sick and kill you so that your family will learn about him. Okay, what are you going to learn about him? That he's scary and mean, and he's not. And so this, the disciples asked this stupid question, in my opinion, because in their mind, and they're not much different from us, they're not different, not any different at all, in my opinion, in their mind, there was levels of sin and levels of sinners. Because you're a worse sinner than me. Because I only do little sins. And you do the big ones. There's no ranking system. God doesn't say, if you did this, you're 10 times worse than this guy. And we have drilled that in them in there too. If you tell a lie, that's just as bad as killing someone. A sin's a sin. And, you know, I sometimes scare children with my honesty and bluntness. I've been trying to do better since the woman that turned around and turned into a pillar of salt and the little girl went home and would never turn around again. Like, she went home and her mom called for her from behind her and she was like, what? And her mom's behind her and she's like, turn around here and talk to me. She's like, I can't. Why not? Because I'll turn into a pillar of salt. So I'm doing better. Not scaring the children, but this one doesn't come very much anymore either. I don't know what it was. The story was very real to her. They thought that this guy, man, he must have been a really bad sinner. He probably sinned before he was even born. Because he was blind when he was born. If we read it a little bit different. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Let me add something there. That's not the point. The point is, the works of God will be revealed in him. I'm not going to give you a reason why he's blind. Maybe there's not one. Why is a hard question. Why did this happen? Sometimes there's not an answer to why. And we spend all of our time caught up in why that we, you know, we put those blinders on about why, and this big, giant, beautiful world is out here that we could help and live, but we're so worried about why, and this happens so much when someone passes away. You know, I've told the kids I'm going to be 120. I'm going to be a crotchety old woman, and you're all going to put up with me before I die. But, you know, if someone dies and there's not a reason, and even if there is a reason, it's hard. And you want to know why. Sometimes there's not a why. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here. Don't worry about why he's blind. Let's show him what God can do. These disciples, oh, they make me feel really good about myself because they were with Jesus. He was standing there in his body, and they still didn't get it. They still asked the silliest questions. And so God continues on. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. So, you know, the disciples were under the impression that these people had sinned, and so their child was struck blind. That's not what it was. And I think that verse is misread so much. In that, well, God made him blind so he could heal him. No. No, he didn't. He didn't. He doesn't do that to his children. There's nowhere in the word that it says that God hurt anyone so that he could teach them to love him. Doesn't make any sense. Verse 6. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the spit, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Okay, the guy was blind, so I don't think he saw Jesus spit on the ground. Even if he did, well, he didn't see him. I don't think he knew. He was blind. I don't think he saw him. He was blind. I don't think he knew that Jesus used his spit. I don't think he would have cared anyway, but I don't know. That's gross. I guess Jesus' spit's the only spit that wouldn't be gross. So I don't think he knew that that's what it was. And so he made this mud and he put it on his eyes. And then what did he say? Go and do something. Go and do something. You have a job to do. At CU at the poll this morning, the adults. Was anybody in here there at Southside? No. The adults circled up over away from the kids because I guess we couldn't be involved because it's on school property or whatever. So it had to be kid-led, and it was awesome. And so then the adults gathered over here, and we prayed. the lady that was kind of in charge was like, well, let's make a circle and we'll hold hands. Anybody that wants to pray, we'll go around and anybody that wants to pray can pray. And I thought, cool. And so we got in our little circle and it was just interesting to hear the prayers. I think I know all the people who go to a church like I was raised in because their prayers were full of, Father, please forgive me of my sins. Father, I beg you. Father, I beg you this. I beg you that. And I don't know if they meant, you know, I mean, that just may be a word that they use. I'm not judging them for their prayer because everyone prayed wonderful prayers. But I could just tell the ones that, and please forgive me of my sins. Because then the world might end right now and I can go to heaven. I got it. And we always ended our prayers like that. Lord, forgive me of my sins. And that's okay. But let's not get caught up on that and forget the important stuff. And so one lady said something that it struck me. She said, thank you, Father, for saving me. And I just thought, you made the choice to receive that gift. And I'm not saying you save yourself, but I'm saying you choose to receive the gift of salvation. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of just a play on words. I know what she meant. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross and doing what you did so that I could be saved. I just think the way we word things sometimes is so funny. Thank you for saving me. Because it's like, you know, well, he's seeking you out to get you saved. Well, he's seeking everybody out. I mean, we're not special. He's seeking everybody out. The worst of the worst of the worst, he's seeking out. He wants everyone saved. We're not special. Sorry. If that burst anyone's bubble, Jerry's pointing to himself that he's special. He's special. I'll be nice. All right, we're to verse 8. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. What might be him, kind of looks like him, but it couldn't be. He said, I am he. I'm the guy that was blind who sat right there all my life and couldn't see anything. It's me. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. I mean, can you imagine how he was saying it? Well, not like that. I mean, you know, when somebody gets excited and they start talking really fast and then this happened and then I did this and then, oh my God, do you know what happened? Look, I can see. I bet he was jumping up and down. I bet he gave a woo like Christy Thorne does. I bet he was excited and they go, where is he? I don't know. He's around here somewhere. I don't know. He's somewhere. So now it's going to get serious. Don't you dare be healed. How dare you? We're taking you, the Pharisees. Come on. Now you've done it. How dare you be blessed? Come on, bring it to present day. How dare you be healed? You must be crazy. Well, those doctors must have been wrong. You're not Leslie. Leslie's sick. You couldn't be because you're healed. Really? I mean, if you come to me and tell me that the doctor said this, but I'm healed, I'm going to do the happy dance with you. But so many religious people would rather, oh, no, you don't. How dare you be healed? Because I can't be. Oh, I'm stepping on my own toes. All right, where am I? We're going to the Pharisees. All right, verse 13. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. I love that. Who formerly was blind. Do y'all understand being blind from birth? This man never saw anything. We turned all the lights off in that room in there. First, I made sure nobody was afraid of the dark and wouldn't go screaming through this door. We try not to scream into this room during church. Turned all the lights off and it was pitch black. Can you imagine that's your life? Can you imagine what red looks like and blue and orange when you've never seen it before? I can't even imagine. So they brought him to the Pharisees, who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see." Jesus did something, I did something, and now I can see. Jesus did something, y'all. He did it. These prayers, "Oh Lord, come and heal me." No, it's done. You're healed. What do you got to do? Receive it. I don't know. What do you have to do? Receive it. However you receive it. I think doctors are wonderful. I think they're wise, and I think that medicine helps people. But you know, there's all different levels. If you need medicine, then you need medicine. If you need medicine, you know what I mean? If you don't, you don't. I'm going to leave that alone. But Jesus did it. It's done. His part's done. He's done. Now it's your turn. And then the healing comes. So it just angers me when I hear people say, "Well, God just, you know, he decided it was time for, you know, so-and-so to go on and be with him." No, he didn't. He needs us here fighting this battle. He doesn't need us in heaven. We'll all be there someday and it'll be a party and it'll be fun. He doesn't need us there right now. He needs us here. What better witness would you be healed from cancer than going in a grave from cancer? He needs you here. So don't let that devil get in your head and say, "Well, it must be my time." Are you 128? It's not your time. It's not your time. Oh, the devil's, he's tricky. He gets in there and he tells you things. You know, soon Pastor asked me to talk tonight so he could go to UACCB and be young. And the minute I said, "Okay," I started thinking, "Oh, well, you've done this and you hadn't had very good, you know, first month of school. You kind of had a big mouth." And I mean, I started going through all the things I had done wrong. And tell the devil to shut up. Tell him to shut up and go on. And then say Jesus and watch him run. I love that video they put on Facebook. I think Pastor started it around where Craig Groeschel was talking, having an interview with the devil. It was a guy in a silk red suit and he had little red horns. Did anybody see it? Oh my gosh, it was hilarious. I'll post it again and all y'all be my friend on Facebook and you can see it. And he's like interviewing the devil and he starts talking about Jesus. The devil's like, "Oh, don't you say that again. I'm telling you right now, don't you say it again." So he does. He's like, "Ah, that's it." And he stomps out of the room. I loved it. The name of Jesus. The demons even know. The demons know step two for you. They don't want you to go to step two. Step one about put them down in the grave. Jesus died on the cross. When he hung up there and took every disease you can even dream up was on his body and in his body. Every one of them. Mental illness was up there. Everything. When he took all that was done. The devil and the demons knew right then, we're going to have to trick them because step two's easy. Well, I shouldn't say that. Step two's not easy because we get in the way of step two. Our mind and our baggage gets in the way of step two. So that's not fair to say. So this guy, I love this guy that now can see. He's just a simple guy. You know, he's been sitting on the side of a road his whole life. I don't know how old he is, begging. So that means he didn't go to school. They didn't have stuff back then for people who were blind or crippled. I mean, they just didn't. And so he was uneducated. I can imagine. Very uneducated. So here they're dragging him into the Pharisees. Can you imagine how intimidating that would be? He's going to the leaders. But it's very simple. He put clay on my eyes. I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, talking about Jesus, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Really? He just gave this man his life back. And you're worried about the day that he did it on? These people are shallow, selfish, religious Christians. I don't know if you can put all those words in the same sentence. And there's some of them in every church. Because when you come in with good news, they'll find something to drag you down with it. They will. They'll find something to take your joy. The Pharisees are alive and well today. And we got to keep them out of this church for sure. This man is not from God, blah, blah, blah. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? Jesus, now they're calling him a sinner. He's the only man who ever lived on the earth without sinning. Do you think Jesus did this on purpose? He knew it was the Sabbath. He knew they were going to have fit. Oh, come here. Make some mud, heal him, and just sit back and watch. No, that's what I would have done. Jesus wouldn't have done that. I would have. Just to have riled them up. Because they were so easy to rile up. No, I'm sure Jesus wouldn't have done that. Because I would have. Verse 17. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. Really? Ah, he's all right. He says he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. And so they called his parents. These are real stories from the Bible. Seriously? Oh, you just looked like that guy, even though he's not sitting there anymore. You couldn't be him. Let's call your mom and dad. And let's ask them. Oh, my goodness. Okay, they called his parents, and they asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? This story amazes me. How then does he see now? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son. And we know that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. Shame on them. Shame on his parents. They were so scared of these religious leaders. What if this was your child? And let's just guess an age. The Bible, I mean, it might tell an age. I didn't read it, but let's just guess an age. How old do you think he was? 20? This is your, oh, he was 21. He could buy beer. He was 21. No, he was of age. He was a grown up. This is your child who's a grown up, who's been blind since the day he was born. And now he can see. And some stuffy old suits are asking you these questions? No. No, but they see him. But they're not really committed. They're scared. I think they're scared. But ask him. He'll talk for himself. Because back then, you got kicked out of church. Oh, wait, that still happens too. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. They were scared. Verse 24, so they called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. Talking about Jesus. He answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. I mean, really, can you imagine? Who cares about the rest? I can see. And so now he's going to get irritated with these guys. Because they just keep on. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? What did they think he had done? I mean, I think he used spit because it was just that simple. It was spit. And dirt. And he made mud. I made plenty of mud pies in my life. Anybody else? I would steal my mama's eggs from the refrigerator, mix them up in there, make it good and slimy. Anybody else? And then I made my sister eat it. Because that's how I rolled. She was older than me, too. Might be why she lives in Iowa today. She's afraid. So here again, they ask. I've lost my place. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them. I told you already, and you don't listen. I mean, he's ready to go out and see things. And they've got him stuck there asking him these questions. You don't listen, he said. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Oh, that he just slapped him in the face. And they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Yes, they did. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us. You sinner, how dare you tell me? Pharisees live today, and they cast him out. I know where you've been and what you've done. Don't you dare try to teach me about God. You know the people who say that are the ones who are worse than you ever thought about being outside these doors. Do you also want to become his disciples? I love that. What's the matter? Y'all want to join the club? No, they did not want to join the club. They were furious when he said that. I love it. It's a marvelous thing. It says, your unbelief and ignorance in the face of the evidence is more of a miracle than my healing. Your ignorance amazes me more than my eyes being opened. And they cast him out. That was a blessing right there. Because if you're in a place and trying to be healed, whether it be physically or spiritually, and you're in a place where there are people like that, you will never get there. They will drag you down every chance they get. Every time something good happens, they will make sure it gets taken away. So Jesus hears that they've cast him out. Verse 35, and when he had found him, he said to him, so Jesus hears it, and he goes and finds him. That's cool. Jesus wanted to make sure he's okay, because Jesus kind of spit on him and then left. Sent him to wash, and he knew. Jesus knew what was going to happen. So he goes and finds him, and he says, do you believe in the Son of God? Here's the greatest part of this story. And the man said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. He got saved. He believed in Jesus. I believe. That's the best part of the story. And he worshiped him. Verse 39, and Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, and those who do not see may see, that those who do not see may see, and that those who may see, who see may see, and see may see. For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. And I'm thinking, okay, now God, you don't make people blind. What are you talking about now? Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. I'm going to clear it up for you. If you think you see, then you're probably a Pharisee. And if you think you're all that and you know it all, then you're blind. If you consider yourself blind, then what are you? You're helpless without someone's help, right? Consider yourself blind, and who do you need to help you? And I'm not talking about that old, oh, I'm a poor blind worm. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about everyday life. Don't go out there and put God behind you. You better get him right up in front of you so that you can be blind and see. It's one of those, come on, God, just say what you mean. You wear me out. We got to figure this stuff out. So the Pharisees were all full of themselves and thought that they knew it all, because they were casting judgment on people and making decisions on people, whether they could stay in the church or not. And they were more blind than anyone else. I love this story. I mean, it's all kind of symbolic, and then it's all just concrete right there. You know, it's both, the best of both worlds. And we have to guard against being a Pharisee. Judgmental. I'm a judgmental person. I have to really stay prayed up, because I'll judge you. Oh, I'm good at it. We can't be that way. That's one of the things they talked about at the conference. Women are the worst. We'll size each other up in a heartbeat and decide whether we're better than you. And if I size you up and decide that I'm better, then I'm good. But if I size you up and decide that I'm not better than you, in whatever it is I'm using to size you up, it's usually appearance, girls. Just be honest. If I size you up and decide that I'm better, then I'm good. But if I do it and I decide you're better, then what happens? Everything about me. You know how you feel when you feel not good enough? That's not of God. Girls, let's not do that to each other. Don't do it to yourselves. Let's look at each other and see what God sees. I mean, some of y'all, if Pastor asked you to speak, you would have thrown up in his lap. And that probably means you need to, but need not to throw up in his lap, but get up and speak. Maybe that's not your calling, but don't sit there and think, oh, Nancy, she can get up and say stuff. No, 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 no. Because there are so million, many more things that you have that I need. Do you know what I'm saying? If I could sing like Angie, girl, I've said it before. I wouldn't be here. I'd probably be out in the world singing somewhere on a stage. I'd be famous. That's why God didn't give me a voice. Because he knew the personality that he put inside of me. And he's like, that girl will be a sinner of all sinners. But I can't sit and poor pitiful me because I can't sing like Angie. You know, I don't know why I'm pointing you out, Angie. I know you don't really care for that. But, you know, she's fabulous and wonderful. And I should try to be like her, but not at the expense of my self-esteem. I don't know why I'm saying all that. I didn't intend to. But girls, somebody in here has compared themselves so many times that you don't even see who you really are anymore. You don't see your beauty. You don't see your fabulous personality. And you need to. So whoever that was for. I love the message. So I'm just going to finish up. Oh my gosh, it's 6 after. Hey, who has the message? Y'all can read that for yourself. We say to hide the word in our heart so that it can't be stolen away. We tell the kids, hide the word in your heart. Don't let it be stolen away. And while it's in there, it will shine outward so that the world will say, what have you got that I don't have? They're not just little kids. They're going out into this world every day just like we are. And they're taking what we give them with them. So let's give them good things. let's hope that they get into arguments at school about whether or not God will make you sick to teach you something. I'm thrilled that my kids have enough of the word in them to know better. And when you leave your kids at a flagpole and you have to walk 100 feet away because you're not allowed to be there, I had a confidence come up on the inside of me that my two children would know if something was said that didn't line up with the word. How did they know that? Because they've been in this church house every time the doors are open. And every chance I get as a mother, I'm doing those teachable moments and I'm putting that word out there. And but you know how they know most of all? By watching. Watching how I act, good or bad. Allie Beth Smooth ripped somebody's head off the other day. And I was like, oh my gosh, that sounded just like me. It wasn't a good moment. So, and they're watching you. My kids are watching you. And thank you for, you know, getting on to them when they need it and getting them in a headlock when they need it and sitting them down when they're running in the church. And thank other people when they do that for your kids. Because that's what it's all about. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We declare right now.